Great. We're doing something a bit different today. We normally share our vision on an evening, but quite often not everybody can come out because of having young children. We're trying to help as many people as possible to understand where we're going this year and why we're doing it, and for you to be part of that. So we're going to do something different today. I want you to close your eyes for a minute and think nice thoughts about me. No, just for a change. I want you to imagine a place where the sick, the broken and lost people can come and experience healing. Experience the powerful love and the presence of God. Imagine a place where fully committed, Holy Spirit-filled, Bible-loving followers of Jesus carry the love of God to each other, to their friends, to their family, and to those around them. Imagine a place where people are highly valued, a place where all kinds of people are welcome, a place where people really do matter. Imagine what a difference such a place would make to our town. Could it be like an oasis in the desert? Could this all be a reality for us? Let's open your eyes for a minute. Could this all be a reality for us? Imagine the people who are devoted to God. Imagine the people who are passionate about living a lifestyle of worship. Worship isn't just what we do when we come to church together on a Sunday. Worship is a lifestyle. Imagine a people who apply the word of God as the standard for living and not what the world says is right. Imagine a people totally Holy Spirit filled. Imagine a people who minister the amazing love of God powerfully through us to others in the Oasis Christian family and beyond. Imagine a people who model teachability and accountability as an example for others to follow and not ask or expect anybody to do anything that we're not willing to do ourselves. Imagine a people who identify, train, encourage, give opportunity to release and mentor others in ministry, regardless of age, experience, gender, background, or length of time as a Christian. Imagine a people who seek to promote unity within the Oasis Christian family and to other churches. Can all this be a reality for us? It's a vision that we've unpacked for many, many years. It's a vision that we've tried to build on year to get us to a point. And 2019 is a very important year for us as a church. It's extremely important. It's vitally important. What happens this year will determine many things for our future. A window of opportunity is closing for the church in our nation. The challenges are going to be as never before. We have to trust God in ways that we've never done so. And we'll have to continue to do so. But 2019 is very much a foundational year, and a year where we focus and we get it right, I believe that God will bless us in a very powerful way. So what's our mission statement? Our mission statement is this, that Oasis Christian Centre exists to worship God. Why do we exist? We exist to worship God. We will worship God for eternity. When we go to heaven, we will worship God. We worship God here today. But we meet regularly to learn. We meet regularly to worship together. We meet regularly to fellowship together in a loving and caring environment. And we meet together to reach our local community and to the world with the gospel. And we're going to ask you in your life groups, and there'll be some notes for you to take away today. We're going to ask you to help shape and help be part of the vision and the mission. We want you, if you're in a life group, to discuss these things in the next few weeks. You're going to be doing that, not this week, but the next 2 weeks you meet. You're going to be discussing all that we do as a church. You're going to be part of helping shape that. If you're not in a life group, you can take notes, or you can still join life groups and you can see Roger about that. We'll explain that a little bit more. But how are we going to achieve this? How are we going to see the vision, what we've just imagined, come about? What do we need to do? Well, first of all, the first thing that we're going to talk about is our commitment to God. People go, yeah, that sounds obvious. We all know this, don't we? We all know that the first thing, everything has to be in our relationship with God. If we don't have a relationship with God, actually, we might as well just not continue, because the relationship with God is absolutely fundamental. And so there are three areas that really we just want to remind ourselves and put these foundations in place, if they're not already, or to build on what we have. It's a time to focus on our commitment and our devotion to Jesus. We've been talking about being devoted to him. We've been talking about that we're going to transition sometime this year into another theme that we're going to build on, which is called Pursuing His Presence. So how are we going to do that? We're going to do it by encouraging you, and we want you to encourage other people, and we want you to ask people to encourage you and to remind you about these things. Take some of your friends and say, would you say to me, am I doing these things? Would you ask me the question? First of all, am I spending personal time regularly studying the Word of God, praying and seeking Him? In our Devotion to Him series that we've started, quite often what can happen is we can just focus on the notes that are coming out that comes from the sermon on a Sunday morning, or what the life group leaders bring us. But it's not enough. We have to have our own personal time studying the Word of God. We have to have our own personal time seeking Him and praying. And I want to just encourage you. You might say, well, isn't this what Christians do? It is what Christians do, but sometimes we don't do it. Isn't that true? But I'm going to say we need the Word of God and the presence of God as we've never had before in this nation. We need it. I need it. And you need it. We're going to actively seek regular times of being filled with the Holy Spirit. At every Sunday service, at every time that we meet together, in our life groups, when we meet together with other people to pray, in our deeper sessions, we want to invite the Holy Spirit every time, in every service, come Holy Spirit, fill me again. Fill me again. And we're going to keep coming back to God and say, fill me again, because we have weeks where we've given out so much and we've got nothing else to give, and we can only give what we've got. And we can't go to a well and draw from something that's empty. So we want to ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit every day, every opportunity. We want to actively encourage you to have people in your friendship groups that will say, are you praying? Are you seeking God? Are you being filled? And take those times to pray for each other as we've never done it before. You know, the underground church, whenever they meet, they will silently pray for the person that they've met. They can't always acknowledge they know that person. They can't give them, say, isn't it great to be a Christian? But you know, one of the things that they'll do is they'll walk past somebody, they'll make a Christian sign. They'll know that they're a Christian. You know what the first thing they'll do? They'll be praying for them and asking God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And I want us to do that. And in our services, I want us to talk to people and have conversations with people. And while we're talking, we're saying, God, would you fill them? Would you bless them with your Holy Spirit? And pray as you've never prayed before, that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon that person. You know, we can help with lots of practical things, but what we need spiritually is to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit as we've never had before. And we're going to need it in our nation. We're going to need that. So would you do that? And submitting to the moral standards clearly defined in the Word of God. And for this to be evident in our personal lifestyle. This is our standard, isn't this true? It is our standard. What the government tells us. What our schools teach. What people around us tell us is not our standard unless it's in line with this. This has to be our standard. And you know, one of the sad things is in churches today is that the standard of the world has come in and the Word of God has taken a lower position. And it's almost like, well, yeah, that's okay for other people. But, you know, for me, God understands if I don't do these things, if I don't live up to what God says, God doesn't mind. God understands. And of course, he does love us. and he wants the best for us. But when he gave us this word, he says to us, this is my standard for you to live. When you become a Christian, we have a different standard. We have a new rule book. We have a new way of doing things. Whatever we do has to fall in line with this. I've asked some of you younger people to come and be with us today because this is really important, because everybody else outside of the church will tell you a different story. But this is the standard. And some of us older Christians have got to come back to us and say, everything I do has to be the word of God. And I want to encourage us that it's getting darker out there. Evil is getting more prevalent. People do not want Christians to meet. They do not want them to preach the word of God. They do not want to believe that this is the truth. But it is the truth. And we have to live it as we've never lived it before. This is our standard. And if we don't hold this as our standard, we'll never be able to do what God wants us to do. We'll never be the people. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, because we know it's hard. Doing the right thing is hard, isn't it? I'm not giving you a lecture. I'm just letting you know, how important this is. And I want to ask you this year, as we start the vision, almost the start of the year, a few days have gone past, that we come back to our personal time with God, our personal prayer with God, our personal devotions to him, and to trust him as never before. But as he asks us to live the life, this is what it says. And it's not what I say. If I say something from this pulpit, if Rachel says something, if anyone says something, you go and study it for yourself. Prove for yourself that this is, that we've heard from God and that it's the right thing. It's really important that you do that. Sometimes, especially if you're a new Christian, you can go, oh yeah, because he's the pastor, he knows everything. He doesn't know everything. And actually, as I get older, I realise I know less and less. But I know what this is my standard, and this is what I want to make my standard. And it's a privilege and it's a responsibility to serve God, isn't it? We have a privilege, but with privilege of serving God comes a responsibility. And we have to take personal responsibility. It's our privilege to serve God. It's our privilege to serve the Oasis Christian family. It's a privilege to serve our community. And it's important that, not in our own strength, because we can't do this, and none of us need to do anything in our own strength. We need to think, actually, we don't have to do this in our own strength, but in his strength, by being filled with the Holy Spirit, we can do the things he asks us to do. He's never going to ask us to do something we're not capable of doing. It's a bit like me saying to somebody in a wheelchair, I want you to climb Everest. It's impossible, but it can feel like that if we try and do it in our own strength. But if God asks us to do it, then he'll heal us and get us out of the wheelchair and give us the supernatural abilities to climb the mountain, won't he? Yeah, talk back to me. So it's really important for us that we're empowered by the Holy Spirit and that we model Jesus. People don't want to see Pastor Robin on this stage. I'm fed up of seeing him, to be honest. I want to see Jesus in Pastor Robin. I want to see Jesus in our congregation. I want to see Jesus when we talk in some, yeah, I know that that's that person, but I can see Jesus in them. And this year, people need to see Jesus. People are asking questions because they're not sure what to do. No one's got an answer except Jesus. So when we're talking to people, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And when they see us, they see Jesus. And it's so important that whoever comes in this door see Jesus. So our commitment to God, I know it's obvious, and I thought, well, why are you saying this? It's because we need to come back, maybe to remind ourselves again. It's good always to remind ourselves of the importance of commitment to God. The second thing is we're going to look at is our culture. Culture. And you're going to help shape this culture. You're going to help be part of our culture. Our vision is to nurture a culture that builds and promotes positive experience. To nurture a culture that builds and promotes positive experiences with people. We don't want people to meet with us in our church and have a negative experience. We want them to be a positive experience, because my God is a God that's very positive. Is yours? You see, if someone comes in with all kinds of problems, God doesn't look at the problem, he looks at the person. He doesn't look at way that they're doing things or mistakes that are made. In a sense, he's not interested in those things. He's interested in the person and for them to have a positive experience with him, because he's an amazing God. He's a God who accepts us, and our culture is going to be one of acceptance. So whosoever comes through these doors that God brings people in, we accept. We've got to accept and love them. It's really important that we show Jesus. It's not our job to judge. If somebody does something that's inappropriate, yeah, the leadership have to deal with things, but it's not our role to bring judgment on people. There's only one person that will bring judgment in this world, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus is the judge and not us. And we have to be careful not to have anything where there is a judgmental spirit. We need to demonstrate love all the time. Think about how God has demonstrated love to you. I think about how God has demonstrated his love to me. I didn't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But he demonstrates his love to you, and he wants us to demonstrate that love that we've received to other people. And it's really important that part of our culture is we're always demonstrating love to people. We're demonstrating compassion and kindness and mercy and forgiveness. And we show and have a culture where we will forgive people that hurt us because we are a family and we will hurt each other. And that happens. But we don't hold bitterness in our heart. We come and we choose to forgive, even though there's pain in that. And we demonstrate that. We demonstrate compassion. We demonstrate mercy. We demonstrate kindness. And I want us to help all of us to help us build that culture, that when people come in, and our church family, when things happen, and things do happen, they happen in your own family, but here we want to develop a culture of these things, and we want you to help us. So in a minute, we're just going to put some words up in a minute. Don't put them, we'll put them up now. There are some key words. They are key words that help us understand the culture that we're trying to build. They're not the only words. They're not exhaustive. They describe the kinds of ways we would like to see people treated at Oasis Christian Centre. Whether they attend regularly or not is not the issue. Is that how we want to treat other people. And we would like to be treated, if we're honest, the same way by other people. We want to encourage people. We want to support people. We want to give praise to people. In the yellow, which isn't very good, it says we want to thank people. We want to forgive people. We want to be accountable for our actions. We want to love people. We want to restore people. We want to bless. We want to accept. We want to exhort. We want to build up. These are some of the kind of words that in our culture we want to develop here. And we're asking in your life groups that you'll spend some time thinking about this. This is called a cloud, a word cloud. And this is our culture cloud. It's not Culture Club, the band. This is our culture cloud, where we want to help build that cloud with words that you think would help us build a great, great culture. Not a good one, but that's something that is just great here. So we want you to help us with that. And so in your life groups, or if you're not in a life group, you have some notes today, you can take them away. And would you spend time praying and thinking about those things and help us build that? It's not for me to bring all that. I want us to do that together, because if you're providing input into that, you're going to buy into it. We're going to buy into it together. There's more chance that this is going to happen. So we've had our commitment to God. We have our culture. In any church or any organisation, there are core values, things that we value and we hold highly, we think are important. And it's not just a good idea that we do these things. These things hold us together. So we value God. We value God. We value his written word. We value Jesus. We value his redemptive purpose. We value the presence of the Holy Spirit above everything else. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We use the term Trinity. You won't find the word Trinity in the Bible, but we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We value them. We value the Godhead above everything else. We value God. We value as God as our Father, Jesus as our Saviour, and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We value individual believers. We value their personal devotion and commitment to Jesus. We value the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We value discipleship. We value Christian fellowship, where we actively, can you say the word actively? That means we take part in it. We start it. We begin the process. We are active in this. Who actively demonstrate love. We want you to actively demonstrate love. This is what we've talked about. We value that. Care, acceptance, forgiveness, accountability, and respect to other people. Just because some people are different to us and they think differently to us does not mean to say that we don't respect their opinions. It's important that we show that here. We value it. We value people who don't know Jesus. Whoever comes through the door, if they don't know Jesus, we value them. We show them respect. We offer them the opportunity to receive Jesus and to be part of the Christian body of believers. I often look at stories of Jesus and how he would cross over to those people that nobody else would want. How he valued the broken. How he valued the dirty people. How he valued the prostitutes as people, not what they offered. As he valued the sick people, the marginalised people, the whosoever. And we value those people that come in that don't know Jesus. We value children. I've said a number of times how much my heart is for children here. I do love the children. I love everybody in this church, but I love the children. I love that we have them. We're so blessed. These children are as equal in this church as adults are. They are to me, and they are to Jesus. They're maybe tomorrow's leaders, but they're as equal and of value as an adult. In some societies, children are of no worth at all. They are here. Teenagers are of equal value as people that have lived life longer and are more mature. We value other Christian churches that are marked by sound doctrine, worship, and that are Holy Spirit led. We value and uphold the Ealing Pentecostal Church foundational truths. And we're not going to go through those today, but they're on your notes and you can read them. But if you become a church member here, you'll know what they are. And we value those and uphold them. So we've looked at commitment to God. We've looked at culture. We've looked at our core values. We're going to look at another C word now, which is character. And character is very important. We're going to bring some teaching on behaving like a Christian, what it means, what's the marks of a church, how do we behave as Christians, how do people know that we're Christians, how do we help each other, and how do we behave amongst each other, and also how do we behave to people in the world. And we're going to start some teaching that in our Devotion to God series. But we believe that and teach here that the importance of every believer developing the fruit of the Spirit described in Galatians. So if you can put Galatians scripture up, if that's possible. Can we read it together? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We value this. This is important to us. Our character is important. We all want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We all want God to give us all these kind of gifts. But if our character is bad, if our character is not Christ-like, people are not going to want to see the gifts. What people want to see is character, and people with character using the gifts wisely. So we believe that character, and I believe, is much more important than giftings. We want the gifts, we desire the gifts, but we want the character that goes with that. Character is more important to us. And we want people to take responsibility. And it's your own personal responsibility to develop your life. It's not the pastors or your life group leaders. You are people that have to come and seek God for yourself. And as God, by his Holy Spirit, touches a part of our life, he helps us in our character become a different person. And I want to ask us the question this year. What do we need to do to become more like Christ? If our character is, if we want to be like Jesus and his character, what are we going to do to make sure where there's areas in our life where some of those things perhaps aren't the best, perhaps need changing? What are we going to do? We're going to focus on those, and we want you to focus on those and look at that. So character is important. Life groups are extremely important for us. In fact, they're vitally important to us as the Oasis Christian Centre family. And we've asked a number of times that people join life groups. And there is a purpose, a long-term purpose of that, as well as a short-term purpose. And the purpose is that as the church gets bigger, relationships can be lost. And life groups are really important where we meet together and build relationships and keep relationships. So they're vitally important for us. They're also going to help us develop our culture into transitioning into what we need to do. But also our life groups are for pastoral care as well, so that we know that everybody can be looked after properly. My heart is to make sure that every person is looked after properly. Rachel's heart, well, is. Jane's heart is still that everybody's cared for correctly. And as the church grows, we aren't going to be able to do pastoral care on the same level we've done in the past. It's going to be impossible. So life groups are really important. And you can join a life group. I know we're looking for more leaders. We need more leaders. We need more people that will step up to the plate and go, do you know, I could lead a life group. I've been a Christian for a long time. I might not have all the skills, but we'll help you become a life group leader. We're going to need more life group leaders, and we need life group leaders now to help us. But we want you to be part of a life group. It's really important. It's not just because we want to tick a box and go, isn't it great everyone's part of a life group? It's because we need to care for people in those groups. So Roger, as you know, runs those life groups, and it tell you in there how you can join a life group. If you're not in a life group yet, we are trying to deal with some of those things now. So we have just a few more things. Prayer. One of the great things for us as a church, now that Rachel has joined us, is that we're able to restructure a few things, and we'll explain some of those things in a minute. But we can spend more time, and I can spend more time focusing on prayer, and not with all the operations and everything else that's going on, have more time to do that. And we're going to have a prayer strategy, and our prayer strategy this year is a lot more corporate prayer on a Tuesday morning from 7:30 till 9 o'clock. It was 7, but from 7:30 till 9, starting in February, we'll start to meet again for corporate prayer. Once a month, Rachel's told you this week, we've got prayer on a Wednesday and on a Thursday. Once every 3 or 4 months, we're going to have a half night of prayer with worship where we can come together. And we can put those in our diaries, and you can schedule those in so that you can be there with us to help us pray. There'll be prayer in our life groups, and we'll have more prayer in our life groups than we've ever had before, perhaps. There's the prayer email, where you can receive emails, and if someone's in need, if something's happening in one of our church family's life or in their friends, we can pray together corporately for each other. And to do that, and the prayer email is available. And if you've not signed up for that, you can do that in the information point today. And then there's individual prayer. We're going to set up an initiative which I started, but we didn't perhaps do it very well, which we call a prayer wall, where we ask you, invite you, to take a specific time or more than one time in the week where you can pray, where you know you can have that time where you can pray. It might be a Monday night at between 5 and 6. And for you, that's a really good time for you to pray. And you let us know when that is. And so we know in our 24-hour period how many people we can immobilize to pray. So when we know it's something we want to pray about, we know so many people are praying in those areas. And then where we've got gaps, we may ask other people to try and help us fill those gaps. You may say, do you know what? I'm available to pray at any time. And some of our sick people that can't get here spend time praying at home. And they might say, just let me know when that is. And we're going to fill a prayer wall, and we'll explain more about that in the future. Our deeper services are really important. And I don't think many of you grasp why we do deeper. I don't think you do, because you don't come. But part of deeper is that we worship God. We take time out where we can't always have the time that we want on a Sunday. And we come together and we worship him together, but it's an opportunity to take time for us to be filled again with his Holy Spirit, to allow God just to minister to us, to allow God just to speak into our lives again, to allow God to empower us for everyday living. And so on these deeper services, I really want to encourage you. I know sometimes parents, none of the parents come with small children, but try and schedule it in your diary where at least one of you could come to some of those. We have 10 a year at the moment, and they are key for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be the people God has called us to be. So we've discussed a lot of things. There's one more in the whole of the vision statement that we're looking at, and then I've got a few more things to talk about. And the next one is communication. So I know when Esther and I communicate well, life's easier in our household. I don't know if you find that with husband, wife, people, if you're living with other people. If you don't communicate well, things don't always go well. We've tried to improve communication. We have improved communication. We will continue to do that. But communication is really important for us, that we share together information. And unless we have good communication, there won't be unity, that we won't be able to build strong working relations. Pastor Rachel has worked hard with the team that we have here to make sure that we communicate really, really well. We communicate through our weekly schedule that comes out, our electronic weekly communication, the updates on Facebook and our website. Sermon notes are produced most weeks. Prayer requests are communicated, as we've said. Notice sheets and rotas are still available from the information points. So if you need to know anything, the information point is really key. And Rachel's working really hard to make sure that that is available for you that don't have internet. If you do and you don't receive stuff at the moment, again, you can find out from the notes how you can get that information. The question is that I want to ask. These can be just words, but can you help make this a reality for us in 2019? A lot of it will fall on the leadership to make sure this happens, but it's not just about the leadership doing it. We all need to buy into it, and we need you to help us in that. And I want you to seriously think about that. So before we continue for the next 5 minutes or so, I just want us to pray. I want us to close our eyes a minute. And I want to ask that God would just speak to us very powerfully. Father, we do what your word says. We commit our way to you. We ask, Father, that you would help us. Whatever you're asking us to do, that, Lord, this year, in a year where the world have so many demands and calls, in a year that our nation is quite lost and unsure of so many things, we ask, Lord, that you would help us by your Spirit to come and do the things you want us to do. Not what I've said today, but, Lord, what you say. Actually, all that really matters is what you say. So we're inviting your Holy Spirit to come again, to envision us for this year, to see great things, to believe for amazing things, and to see your power in this place. We started off by imagining things. We want to use our imagination, but, Lord, we want our imagination to be Spirit-led. So help us in that, we pray. Help us to be the people you've called us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a couple of other things I just want to just briefly talk about, and what's important in a way for us as a church as we move forward. So we are, because of the opportunities that we have with Rachel now being part of the team, Rachel currently works 4 days, with Joshua being part of the team and myself, who are the three staff that are paid now. Jane was paid for a few hours a week, but we're the paid staff. We have restructured with the eldership how we do things in church, so that you're aware of who has what responsibility and who is responsible to the eldership for the ministries that they do, and responsible to you, of course. So Josh, if I take Josh, Josh is in Brazil at the moment. He's not here today, but his responsibilities have changed slightly. He's still in charge of finance. His title is finance officer. He looks after all the finances in the church. If you need to talk to him about finances, you can speak to Josh. He does salaries along with other volunteers, does salaries and pensions. And so that whole part of the finance is as it was and doesn't change, although it's getting more difficult. And other people are coming along to help, which is good. He's now going to be given the role of, and he is already the youth leader, but he's the youth pastor from now. He takes responsibility from youth. And also he's going to take on 18s to 30s age group and become the 18s to 30s pastor. So he's taking the age groups from teenagers up to the age of 30. And then we have other people on team, like Danielle, who is our youth and community paid worker, that's paid through our community outreach shops at this point in time. And Daniel takes on a lot of responsibility for our young people here and other of our young leaders or leaders in working with our young people, working in that team. In fact, it would be good, actually, for you, all the young people that helped Josh, part of his leadership team, would you just stand so? Would you just stand up that helped Josh on a Friday? That's good. Okay, so these young people are taking on responsibility and growing. And growing and developing to leaders. They are working with Josh and Josh is helping them become leaders. In fact, one of the things that we're doing is with some of them is we're going to help our Elim Church in Evesham help plant a youth group at the moment. And we're doing that and we've been doing that the last few weeks. Please take your seats for a minute. The older people in our church, it's difficult to call them adults because the age group between young people and adults, but the ones that aren't teenagers. Can you just stand for our kids' work? Because I'd just like to. So, Rachel, you just stood. Could you stand again? Everybody that does that. And I know there's more. That's good. So these people here are inputting into the young people, and they're helping Josh in that area. So please pray for them. Thank you. Please pray for them as they do that. So Josh's role will become a youth pastor. Josh is training for ministry now. He hasn't been accepted as an Elim credential minister, but he's moving towards that. He's also in charge of all technical stuff and things like developing websites. So that's Joshua's responsibility. So then we have Pastor Rachel. So Rachel's responsibilities now are pastoral care, which you know that anyway. It is communication. She communicates better. She's not dyslexic like what I am. I used to be dyslexic, but now I'm KO. So Rachel's doing a great job with communication. She's worked really hard. Some of you just got that, haven't you? Rachel's taken on a new role very, very quickly now. Just happened. Rachel is going to be working. Ben and Vicky and Rachel are working together. Rachel's going to be classed as the worship pastor. So Rachel is going to oversee all the worship that happens in the church and new ways of developing worship and doing worship in different parts of our church and different things that happen. So Rachel is worship pastor. Ben and Vicky are working alongside closely to Rachel. Rachel then does all administration, has a team that does that. She looks after rotas. She also looks after things called GDPR, which is something that we have to be compliant with now. Looks after the cleaning and the bookings. So there is a mixture of things that Rachel has, both spiritual and practical things that Rachel does, which has released me so that I'm not doing all those things now and I'm concentrating on other things. So my responsibilities will be church vision, looking after the Oasis charity shops and caring, making sure that those function well, line managing all the staff in church and outside into our charity shops, overseeing life groups, although Roger is still life group coordinator. He will still continue to do that, but I'll have overall responsibility for that. Children's ministry, Matt and Sarah doing amazing work with the children here. Give up a lot of their time, very sacrificial. They're going to continue to do the children's work, but I oversee that. Facilities, all the things that we have here, I look after. Families with young children, Alan and Louise Young used to do that and did a great job. And from now, Asha and Nancy will be looking after families with young children. And if you don't know who they are today, in fact, could you just stand, Asha? Have you got one of you here? Yeah, so that's Asha. No, that's Nancy. I have a problem with words sometimes. And when I say Nancy and Asha, I keep going Nasha. But it is Asha and Nancy. So they're going to start taking responsibility for families with young people. We've talked about prayer. I look after the operations, all the contracts that we have to sign and to keep this place running. Looking after missions, overseeing drop-in, all other outreach, safeguarding with Diane, all legal compliance. So those are my areas that I'm looking at, more operational stuff in those. So if you need to know who to go to, it's all in here and you can speak to them. Does that make sense? Now, we built this new building, lovely building, and we have a mortgage on it. And part of that mortgage was money that we'd used out of our account to buy the house years ago. And we had one big mortgage, which was about $279,000 that was left. It was a lot more than that, but we've paid tons off. But we've refinanced those loans. It's not how we wanted to do it exactly, but it's what we've done at the moment, why we're able to, in the constraints that we have as a charity and as a branch church of Elim Church. So we've taken the one loan and we've made two loans. So we have a loan for the house, which is $159,000, which is what was put into the house when we first bought it. And then we have what would have been $120,000 on this building here. We've managed to pay another $10,000 off in the last few weeks because there was a gift given us and because of the way we'd budgeted to do a capital payment. So one of the things I'm asking you is to, and I'm not going to do this again after this time with regard to the church building fund. This will be the last time that I mention something personally. You might have some updates from us, but from the front. We have £110,000 which we need to clear on this building. It's not a massive amount. Some people have bigger mortgages than that, but that is the target figure that we need to do. We have a gift date on March 24th in the morning. And what we want to do, and what I would like to do, is to be able to pay off a capital amount. I'm not going to put a figure on it. I'm not going to say we need to find it all. What I'm going to ask is that on this occasion that you will go and pray and seek God and say, God, if I have the ability to do something to help remove that capital and reduce that capital, I want to do that. And so in the morning of the gift day, I'm going to ask you to bring your gift, whatever you can give, and that money will be used to go to pay off the capital of the 100 towards the 110,000. And as that goes down, at the moment we pay about £2,500 a month out on finances. As that goes down, we will release more money into resources and opportunities that we can do to serve our church and serve the community. So on the evening of that day, on the 24th, we have our AGM, and I want to talk about how we allocate our finances for caring for people in the church and for reaching the community, so that you're aware of that, and we'll spend more time on the AGM. Is that okay? Great. So I'd like to be open and honest with that, with all things. And on the back, the last bit is the Elim Fundamental Truth. So before you go today, you'll have a document like this in colour, with some different things in for you to take. Please don't just file them somewhere. Would you go through them and read them? And with your life groups, would you do that? Great. I'd like to invite the worship team to come back if they could. So there are changes coming. There have been some changes made. There will be some more changes that will be happening. We don't all like change, but change happens. And change has to happen for us to fulfill the vision and mission of church. So would we stand together right now? So we're going to spend some time worshipping God, as we do normally. Our praise is about thanking God. Our worship is taking us to a deeper level where we're actually seeking him as well through the raising of our voice, through the lifting of our hands. And I want us to thank God for everything that we have. He's given us so much, hasn't he? Aren't we blessed, church, with what we have? Look around. Look at the person sitting next to you. Look at the person in front of you. How blessed are we to have this family? We're super blessed. As a pastor, I'm blessed. As an elder, and on behalf of the elders, we're blessed. On the session, we're blessed. And you're blessed. So we can thank God today for what we have. But also we can go deeper now and say, God, okay, remind me again. Speak again, oh God. Speak into my life. What would you have me to do? What are you saying to me in this? And it might be, he might be saying something else as well, and that's fine. So as we worship in him, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and do something special. Holy Spirit, we come now. We stand in front of you. Nothing is hidden. Actually, we can't hide anything at all from you because you're God. You see everything. But as you see everything, we want to thank you that you want to choose and use us. So help us today, we pray, to be used by you. In Jesus' name.